As we have trekked along through Lent, we've looked at this theme of redemption in the Scriptures, and even though we have not exhausted all of the many passages that talk about redemption, we have hit on specific ones that reinforce a theme. We started with general passages about God that discuss the fact that in His nature, He is a God that wants to redeem people, that instead of condemning sinful humans, He reaches out to them and saves them. Then we moved to focus in on the specific means in which He does this, which was through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice of the Son of God. God provided redemption for all people so that we can be saved. Tonight, we're going to kind of culminate this thinking with a kind of already accomplished sense and yet a longing for a final state of redemption. And in order to focus on this, I want you to take a look at Ephesians 4, starting at verse 29. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." This passage is talking about the fact that we have been sealed in redemption. We have been sealed by God for salvation. And that sealing means that it was based on an event that already happened in order to provide salvation for us. That was the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so in that sense, it's already an accomplished fact. That's why many people can say experientially, "I have been redeemed." However, this also discusses that there is a process that we are undergoing. It can't be said that we have what's called final redemption yet. We are in process, and only upon our glorification, only upon the resurrection day, will we be able to say it is finally completed. It is in its totality experienced by us. So that's what we're going to think about tonight. And starting with this idea of being sealed for the day of redemption, you notice there is a strong encouragement here, and it's not just in this one paragraph, but actually quite a bit in the book of Ephesians and in chapter 4 here. Paul is talking about this transformed mindset, this transformed lifestyle, the attitude, the spirit that is so different than the world. And so this is just a part of it when he is saying in verses 29, 31, and 32, it's a radical change where he says, "Don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up." In verse 31 and 32, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling." In verse 31. In verse 32, "Be kind and compassionate as Christ and God, in Christ God forgave you." This being sealed in Christ is supposed to be designating that we now act in this radically different way, that we don't respond the same way when we're slighted, that we don't retaliate the way the world retaliates, that we show kindness and compassion that is beyond the norm, beyond what's expected of people. And the reason given is because we were sealed for the day of redemption. The work of Christ has been secured so that we can be saved, so that we can be called the people of God. But then it talks about this sealing. You know, what does it mean when it says you are sealed for the day of redemption? Well, it's possible that this is a reference to baptism and the fact that God put His seal of approval on us, so to speak, and marked us as His own children. But there's another way to understand this, too, that when you are sealed in something. It's like a certificate of approval. It's that you have been given the mark of acceptance, so to speak. And so we as God's people have this ability, this skill, this power that we exude and that we show individuals because of our faith. Let me liken it to if someone had gone to schooling for becoming a computer technician and they had taken the certification tests. Now they were approved in order or received the seal of approval, so to speak. They were able to now act on behalf of the company. They were able to troubleshoot and solve problems, and they were skilled in that respect. The same thing should be the case with us. Since we have been marked, since we've been given the seal of approval, we've been instructed in Christ. We have been given the tests of faith. We have undergone the testing. We have experienced these things. We are able to help others, to guide others, to give them answers to life's problems. So in that sense, we are like certified in Christ to represent Him. And of course, that's then, how is that done? Through these actions, through these behaviors that demonstrate that we're the representatives of Christ, so that we don't lose our temper and profane the Lord and others, and so that we have a kind, forgiving spirit. See, this shows the certification. This shows that Christ has His seal upon us. It's a big challenge, but it's also a very powerful witness that we carry. And then it talks here about not grieving the Holy Spirit. You know how it is when you disappoint someone and you didn't act in accordance with what they expected. Spirit of God lives within us, and He wants us to act in accordance with His nature. And it's a conflict, isn't it, when we do, when we let the flesh overcome. And so we have to be aware that we don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. We don't want to offend the Lord God who lives within us. And talking about that process, the process of sanctification, what's called final sanctification, takes place at our resurrection day. Until we die, we're in this slow and not always steady state of progression toward the ideal that God wants us to have. It's a lurching, struggling kind of thing. We slide back into an old habit, an old sin. We fight to clamber out of it and to continue on progressing toward the ideal God wants for us. And so it's this constant, continuous struggle to become more the people God wants. And that's why Paul was encouraging the Ephesians. And that's why I'm encouraging us tonight, too, because it's a process that's not completed yet. But it will be the day of redemption that's being talked about here in verse 30 that we've been sealed for is the day of Christ, the day of the Lord, the return of Christ. And that's when the process finds its fulfillment, when we will receive complete regeneration, the completely new life, no longer having to struggle with the sin within us, completely filled with the Spirit of God to the point that we no longer are acting out of selfish, impure motives as we inherited from Adam and Eve, the knowledge of good and evil, what we think is good for us, what will benefit us and all. Instead of that, it'll be out of what God says for us, what His will is for us. It'll be absolute transformation. That's what we look forward to. And that's why we work so hard, like in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "Be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, and gave Himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Christ completed that sealing, that certification for us. But at this point, we're just feeble imitators, like a kid trying to imitate mom or dad in some activity, right? But then we will be complete. We won't be feeble imitators. We'll be filled and restored the way God wanted us to be. So that's what we long for. Wouldn't you love to have that now? We have such a yearning to be right, to be correct, to not make mistakes. Maybe that's part of our desire for that final redemption, for that moment when we won't have to make mistakes anymore, when we won't be plagued by sin, when we won't feel the burdens of weakness in our flesh and in our spirit and mind. We long for that. And the promise of the Lord is that those who love him, are faithful to him, will receive not just improvement along the way in this life, but will receive what is called that final redemption, that final restoration in new life in Christ. Amen.